Well, the big news in Australia and in particularly in the NRL has been the defection. Valentine Holmes leaving our great game to go over there and try his luck in America, trying to get a contract in the NFL. And a man who knows all about the NFL is joining us on the line this morning, Dick Fane. Good morning, Dick.
Hi, guys.
Valentine Holmes, I don't know whether you know much about him, but what's his chances of going over there to this international camp and forcing his way onto a team roster for next season's NFL?
Yeah, I got a call yesterday from one of your media members down there wanting to ask me about him, and I didn't know anything about him at the time. I got filled in a little bit by him, and basically what I told him is I really see the path to NFL success for guys from other countries, especially guys from different sports coming here. It's the Michael Dixon way of doing it. And the Michael Dixon way of doing it is putting your pride aside, putting the, millions of dollars aside for a year or two, and playing college football, which is exactly what Michael Dixon did. The only reason Michael Dixon was on the NFL radar is because he played at a major university. He won the Ray Guy Award as the best punter in college football, and therefore he was drafted in the fifth round. If Michael Dixon would have just come over from the AFL and tried to make the NFL, he wouldn't have had a shot. And so the question is Valentine Holmes going to be willing to, for a year, put aside the fact that he's been making millions of dollars a year, put aside the fact that everybody knows who he is, and just be anonymous for a year. Live with guys at a school, make no money at all, but get on the radar of the NFL scouts in the game that all the NFL scouts watch, and that's college football. College football is the breeding ground 9% of every NFL player. If you don't play in college football, you have almost a zero shot to make the NFL. Case in point, Jared Haynes.
Yeah. So this international college that they attend, there's only a limited amount of potential player or potential players that turn up. And are they sort of guaranteed a spot on a roster or guaranteed 6 months in a training camp with the professional team?
No, they're not guaranteed. I mean, basically, you've got about 60 schools or so that are considered Power 5 schools. Those are the ones that the NFL really takes into consideration. So you've got about 60 teams. The top two or three players from each one of those teams will be drafted. The rest of them, the next probably 10 to 15 players that come out from each one of those teams, will be invited to a camp as an undrafted free agent and will have to make his way onto a team. But it sounds like, this guy is, 22 years of age. He's obviously a phenomenal athlete. He's going to be competing. If he competes at the college level, he'd be competing against lesser talent, meaning he will be able to stand out a lot more and potentially get himself recognized by the NFL in the draft versus just trying to go right away into an NFL camp in a sport that he's not familiar with, kind of like what Jared Haynes did, and kind of get lost in the shuffle a little bit.
It's pretty good advice, plus going to college and playing NFL and being a bit of a star sounds pretty good fun to me.
Yeah, and learning the game.
Learning the game from great coaches. The coaches in college football are every bit as good as the coaches in the NFL. The atmosphere in college football in many ways is better than the NFL. I know that's probably hard to understand from an outsider's perspective that, how could you have what is, essentially a minor league be actually as popular or more popular than the NFL. Dollars-wise, it's not, but butts in seats. I mean, our college team here in Seattle gets 70,000 fans every single game. There are fans in the South, in Alabama, and Auburn. I mean, they put 95,000 people in the stands every single week. Those are the type of colleges I'm talking about him going to, the elite of the elite that have NFL scouts all over them every week.
Sounds like good advice. Did I read that there's one college coach that's getting about $10 or $11 million a season to coach?
Oh yeah, Nick Saban. Yeah, Nick Saban, coach. I think he makes more than anybody in the NFL. I mean, college football is a big business because everybody is so emotionally involved. Because you either grow up in a city where you like a college team, kind of like an NFL team, or you go to that school. And when you go to that school, you know, and most of the people that are making big monies in the major cities of America, you know, are a graduate of one of these major institutions, and they're devoting a lot of time, they're devoting a lot of money, donating back to the school. They feel more invested in their college program a lot of cases than they do in their NFL team.
Talking of the NFL, what about this great clash yesterday, Kansas City Chiefs and the LA Rams? A bit of history created. First time that each team has scored 50-plus points. There was a lot of lead changes in that last quarter. Sensational game.
One of the greatest ever, and probably the most exciting Monday Night Football game that I've ever seen. I mean, there was a much-talked-about Monday Night game back in 1985 where the undefeated Chicago Bears took on the Miami Dolphins, and the Dolphins thrown them with Dan Marino, and that was one of the highest rated football games of all time. I mean, you've got to go back that far. I mean, just to find a game with this type of intrigue. You have two teams that only had one loss. You had two teams that very well could face each other in the Super Bowl. I'm still tipping the Saints and the Chiefs. I'm not tipping the Rams. However, the Rams persevered yesterday. But remember, the Rams persevered at home by 3 points in a game where the Chiefs turned the ball over five times. If the Chiefs all of it five times is a ridiculous amount of turnovers. When you turn the ball over five times in an NFL game, you usually lose by four touchdowns. And the fact that Chiefs could turn the ball over five times, including two for touchdowns, and only lose by three, says a lot about the Kansas City Chiefs and their chances to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he's a pretty special player. Who won the battle in the quarterbacks? I mean, the two exciting young quarterbacks in Mahomes and Goff. Obviously, did Goff come out on top?
Yeah, I mean, Goff made less mistakes, so therefore I put him on top. I mean, Patrick Mahomes made probably the bigger wow plays, the greater plays. He had more touchdown passes, but Jared Goff made fewer mistakes. He did have a fumble that was key, but kept the ball away from the opponents better than Patrick Mahomes did. And that's simply because, you know, this is Patrick Mahomes' first year as a starting quarterback. Jared Goff has been doing this for 3 years now. So Jared Goff just has a little more savvy, a little more experience in big games than Patrick Mahomes does. But I feel like Patrick Mahomes, at the end, is probably going to end up being a better quarterback than Jared Goff is. I think he's just got more natural, raw ability. Goff's a very, very good player. Both of them are going to be top 10 quarterbacks, maybe even top 5 quarterbacks for the next 10 years in this league. But if I had to just guess which one's going to have a better career over the next 10 years, I'll give it to Patrick Mahomes. He has got a rocket for an arm. He runs better than Jared Goff does. He's really kind of like Russell Wilson here in Seattle with a little better arm. Mahomes doesn't have the savvy, obviously, and the experience that Russell has right now. But that trajectory, and Russell Wilson, remember, won a Super Bowl in his second year in the NFL starting. This is Patrick Mahomes' first year in the NFL starting. In his second year overall, we could see a repeat of history.
Yeah, and in the NBA, LeBron and the Lakers are starting to find some form. LeBron scored his, 51 points for the 13th time in his career?
Yeah, that was the best game for LeBron as a Laker, no question. We talked about it a little bit last week where I mentioned that the schedule was getting easier for the Lakers, and they have taken advantage of that. Not only have they beaten up the bad teams, they actually beat Portland last Wednesday in a game that I thought, okay, that might be their last loss before they rattle off a few wins in a row. Well, they were able to beat Portland as well. So the Lakers starting to play a little bit better defense. LeBron's starting to get used to his teammates. They're still not going to be a team that's considered elite this year. They just don't have the enough talent around LeBron James. They need that second six-time piece. But they are a playoff team. I'd be very surprised if they didn't make the playoffs. And, we always like to see LeBron in the playoffs because you never know what can happen.
And everyone thought Golden State Warriors, Dick, were, just immoral to win. But they're having their own problems at the moment, some problems of their own.
Yeah, problems twofold. The problem with Steph Curry's injury, and he's been an injury-prone player. But they are going to be very, very patient in bringing him back. Why? I mean, why would you be anything other than patient? They know when they're fully healthy, they can and will beat any other team that they face. So they're going to sacrifice some wins. And then also the problem with the chemistry between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant is real. And Kevin Durant even mouthed when he was arguing with Draymond Green in a timeout a couple weeks ago or a week and a half ago, even mouthed, "This is why I'm getting out of here." You could read his lips. And remember, Kevin Durant is a free agent at the end of the season. Now, could things change between now and next July? Of course. They could win another championship. He could make amends with Draymond Green, and everything could be fine, and he could re-sign with the Golden State Warriors. Or this could be a precursor of a huge power shift in the NFL and the NBA, because if Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, Golden State is no longer the favorite to win any more championships.
And, mate, just one quick one from me. Is there any push from the NFL to fast-track any international guys, you know, with that international sort of passageway they've opened up? Would they be keen to try and fast-track a Val Holmes?
Well, that's a good question. It depends on if there's some general managers out there that really know who he's all about.
Yeah.
And would try to. I mean, we see it much more often in baseball. And baseball has been an international sport. Basketball really has been an international sport for a long, long time. And we've gotten many, many superstar players from Europe in the NBA. And same thing in Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is primarily Dominican Republic and Venezuela and Mexico and Panama and Costa Rica. That's where a lot of their players come from. So each team has got many scouts down in Latin America pulling players out. The NFL just hasn't gone that way. And maybe it's because that really American football is only played in America. So whereas baseball and basketball are played all over the world. So it puts the NFL a little bit behind as far as grabbing talented athletes from other countries, because they figured, you know what, we really don't want to take the time to teach this person actually how to play football. It's not just enough to be an athlete. You have to be a football player that's played the last 15 years of your life playing football.
Yeah, well, it's a big story over here, Valentine Holmes leaving the game to go over there and pursue his career in the NFL. And once again, Dick, we thank you for being on our program this morning.
All right, boys, talk to you next week.